And so the next item is a 15-minute item, and that is the motion on postponing the executive director evaluation. Susan, would you like to move and read your motion? You're muted. You would not like to read and move your motion.
I would prefer to not read it. I apologize. Could I ask you to read it?
I can read it. Okay.
That's quite and then right. I'll motivate it.
Yeah. Okay. Whereas the personnel committee has been researching and meeting diligently to craft an executive evaluation procedure for 2022 that meets the highest best practice standards. Whereas the requirement of securing a bond to stay the payment of a judgment and many issues attendant to that will require the full and urgent attention of the executive director and the management team, the general counsel, and the national directors. Whereas the services of NETA, including human resources advising, have been discontinued. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the 2022 executive evaluation process be put on hold for 2 months in hopes that circumstances and financial resources permit the resumption of this duty. That's the motion. Go ahead, Susan. Oh, wait a minute.
Vanessa, wait a minute.
I need a second.
Vanessa, seconds. Yes.
Thank you, Vanessa. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I sent out a little note to everybody. I'm familiar with the really hard work that's being done by the committee and how thoughtful. There are a lot of ideas that are being brought from everybody's experience around the system. And, Darlene Pagano and I offered to, you know, help craft some concepts and procedures and so forth. And in light of everything that was happening, I just figured it was best if we attended to first things first during this period of time.
All right. Thank you, Susan. I see a stack of Lawrence and James McFadden. Lawrence, go ahead.
Could you put James Sagerton on the stack too, please?
Gotcha. Go ahead, Lawrence. Hmm? Lawrence,
well, Chaz, you would say that's a legend hand. That's a legend hand.
Oh, okay. Got it. And I think James McFadden's must have been a legacy hand too. So go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
A legacy hand.
Okay. Excuse me. I just wanted to get clarification on the reference to the management team in this motion. What does that refer to?
What I'm thinking of the management team is the ED, the business manager, and any others who were needed to engage in the things that we're going to need to do to address the current situation.
Is there an existing management team? Is more or less my question. And if so, what is it?
I think Susan just explained what she meant by that. So I think I, the part about the management team is in the, you know, the whereas, it's in a whereas clause, right? It's not in a resolving clause. And it's, you know, about the fact that there are more urgent matters like bills we have to pay that are, you know, et cetera, coming due soon that, you know, it's the management team figuring out how much money we have, like Markeisha and Stephanie.
Okay. I have one other question.
Go ahead.
And that was, in, Stephanie's contract, we, promised her an evaluation in 6 months, which is already passed. So is she would she be waiving that with this motion, or, you know, what do we do about that?
So I don't think that's a good question. Her contract does says we would evaluate her after 6 months. So I think we're not technically speaking, violating the terms of her contract by delaying a little bit. But, Stephanie, I'll let you opine on whether you think this is a good or bad or whatever it is that you would like to say about it, if you would like.
Let me unmute. No, I'm whatever you guys want to do is perfectly fine with me. I'll support whatever decision you make regarding the evaluation.
Thank you. I think we're still committed to doing an evaluation. It's just recognizing right. that there are some, you know, kind of sort of bread and butter issues we have to deal with in the very.
Right. And it's already delayed as is. So.
That's correct.
It was supposed to, yeah. So we're already kind of past that deadline already.
Okay. So back to the stack. I see Vanessa, then Teresa, then Beth. Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay. So in a perhaps minimal way, we've already met our responsibility to provide an evaluation, which we did a couple of PMB meetings ago. It was something to the effect, I'm going to really simplify it, like you passed, you're fine, you keep going. I mean, which, you know, that it's a sort of a bare knuckles kind of a evaluation in quotes. And then we, I think Stephanie is absolutely owed and deserves a better and more meaningful evaluation, but we do have a lot that we're dealing with. So as a member of that committee, I don't disagree with just really focusing on the most important issues, especially with, you know, given that we've sort of minimally met the requirement to provide an evaluation. They can do something more meaningful later.
Thanks, Vanessa. Teresa, you're up. Then Beth. Teresa?
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, we can't hear you.
I call the question. Did you get that?
I did get that. Do I need a second to the calling of the question, Mr. Tatum? I forget already.
Yes, you do, and it takes a 2/3 vote.
Right.
Second.
No debate.
Who is that?
Susan was the second. No debate. So, are there any objections to calling the question? Hearing none, we move on to the motion itself, which is the motion on postponing the ED evaluation for 2 months. Are there any objections to the motion to postpone the ED evaluation for 2 months? Hearing none?
I'd like to abstain.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Hearing no objection.
I have a point of inquiry, a question, please.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
I'm just wondering, you were saying we're postponing it for 2 months. Is that, you know, is that a time certain? Or is that, you know, until 2 months have passed and then we'll do it sometime after 2 months? I should have asked this question before we got to this point. I apologize.
I think it's the 2 months is the nobody can read the tea leaves any further than that, but we didn't want to delay it too long, right? We didn't want to just delay it indefinitely. We said 2 months on the theory that it would take, that we would be busy for 2 months more than likely, but that the hope is that in 2 months time, we can bring it back to the forefront and, but in 2 months time, if we are too busy, we'll have to have another motion to postpone, I guess.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Madam Chair.
Oh, yes.
The 2 months technically can start once the motion is adopted.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. So I asked if there were any objections to the motion and Beth expressed, her desire to abstain. But other than that, the motion carries. Until that takes us on to the next item on the agenda, which is a motion on national,
on the that last item.
Okay, go ahead, Beth.
Before we leave. Thank you. Was it the intention that, that committee no longer, the suspend meeting then, the personnel committee meeting? Is it the intention that those meetings be suspended until we resume this process of evaluation?
If the personnel committee has no other business, then, you know, I presume that would make sense.
Thank you.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda was the was a motion on national programming on political prisoners on October 4th. And this is a 20-minute item on the agenda. I don't actually have a motion. I will start the, and I would entertain a motion, and, but I will just start this off by saying that, Jim Dingaman and, Heather Gray, you know, both sent out requests to the PMB, at least I think this is right, you know, a few days ago to ask people to participate in a call that would be about, you know, pulling together people to, you know, discuss putting this kind of programming together. You know, a number of directors joined that call. Let me see, myself, Vanessa, Heather, of course, Jim Dingaman, Jim Sagerton, and James McFadden. And, there were probably about, I don't know, give or take 20 people on that call. And it was an incredibly productive meeting there. It was obvious from that call that, you know, there's a lot of energy around the topic. There are a lot of, you know, super knowledgeable people who are, you know, committed to, you know, informing people about the topic. And, so at any rate, if, what I would do now is I would entertain a motion if somebody's willing to make a motion from the floor about national programming. I don't know, Heather, if you want to do that or if somebody else wants to.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm going to ask Jim Dingaman to jump in here as well. So yes, we had a wonderful meeting, and I want to thank all of you who were at the meeting last night. It was just great. And we had a number of representatives from various organizations who work with political prisoners. It was just wonderful, I thought. So Jim, jump in here as well. Do we come up with some kind of wording along this line? And let me just say that we're not exactly sure how we'll do this. We want to make this a national program and also make it into a fundraiser for Pacifica. We're talking about having programs on, or a program, perhaps an hour long that'll be hopefully covered on all Pacifica stations, but the affiliates will be participating as well in this. So, so Julie, I don't know, that's not, is that really a motion? What would you call that?
Go ahead, Teresa.
Was anyone from the prison show at KPFT invited, and is there a reason why it's only political prisoners? Because it seems to me that there are certain injustices that might not be considered political, but they might be considered an issue of racism, for example. And I just wondered.
No, My suggestion would possibly be
that that a different title be given for it, and it not only be political prisoners, but that's just a thought. Thank you.
All right, Matt.
Go ahead, Heather, or Jim Dingaman, if you want to.
Go ahead, Jim, please.
All right. Point well taken, Teresa. And there's lots of people in this phone call who have varying levels of expertise and knowledge about this issue that far exceed mine. And, of course, there are people in the system at various stations who have been involved with these kind of issues far exceeding me for years. So our purpose is to get this off the ground and not only just focus in on political prisoners, but get back to what we were discussing several months ago, and that is experimenting with national days of programming that will have a soft touch, light touch, but then can be applied to this large debt that we have, okay, to do a fundraiser that would be more effective perhaps than the last time we did with the archives, etc. But just to start chipping away at that issue. Now, the reason that this day was proposed was because of the birthday of H. Rap Brown. What's his Muslim name?
His Heather? Name is Jamil El-Amin.
All right, and we had people on from all over the place, and they were mainly political prisoner advocacy groups or former political prisoners. And so we felt that the initial concentration of it should be on the political prisoner issue Because most Americans, of course, don't even conceive that we have political prisoners in the United States. And it's also a branding issue for Pacifica. No other network in the country has ever done any kind of sustained work on this at all the stations over a long period of time. So the idea would be to, and there's people in New York, there's people in all the stations who know a lot about this issue, again, far better than myself and for sure. So the issue would be to, I would say a motion would be like something like this, to begin once again initiating national programming for fundraising purposes, and the first day we would do this would be October 4th, and our goal would be to concentrate on the theme of political prisoners and begin to develop other shows along this theme of political prisoners, and at the same time look at other topics that should be explored. For example, Roe v. Wade. I don't think we've done a whole day of programming on Roe v. Wade, frankly, and I would think that politically, given what's going on in the country, something that could be done by Pacifica could have an impact nationally if it's intelligently put together. And I would leave that, again, up to others to conceive, not me.
Point of order?
Anyway.
Chair, I have my hand up. I don't know.
Yeah. Point of order. Hang on, everybody. Yeah, I know there's hands up. So what I want to do is make sure that Marianne's comfortable with hearing, because I heard Jim just make a motion, which was something to the effect of initiate national programming for fundraising purposes on October 4th on political prisoners, to be followed with other topics later.
Correct. That's, and others can add to that. Yeah, that's in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Chair, could you add James to the stack, please?
Yeah, hang on. So we have a motion. Do I have a second for the motion?
This is Heather. I'll second.
Oh, thank you, Heather. Okay. Now we can have discussion, people. Okay. So I see a bunch of hands. I'm going to go Vanessa, Teresa, Beth, Jim Dingman, Lawrence. Vanessa and Susan. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Legacy hand. I'm putting it down.
Got it. Teresa, you're up.
I'm sorry, I've already had my say. I didn't take my hand down, sorry.
That's okay, I can do it for you. Beth is up next, then Lawrence. Beth?
I didn't know my hand was up, thank you.
Lawrence, go ahead, then Susan. Lawrence.
Thank you. This is the kind of work I've been doing. I've helped liberate, been part of efforts of liberating many political prisoners. The difference between a social prisoner and a political prisoner needs to be defined. I understand Teresa's concern about the systemic racism that exists in regards to the numbers and the disparities of the prison population and the prison industrial complex. I had an internet radio show called From Decolonization to Liberation, which highlighted Jamil Alamin and other political prisoners, Leonard Peltier. I used to do the regular report on Leonard Peltier. I've been part of the effort of liberating the Puerto Rican political prisoners that that have been part of the prison system for political reasons for over, charged with seditious conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. So the difference between a political prisoner and a social prisoner. I don't diminish either one of them. But the fact is that a political prisoner, and most of them are elders that have been in the dungeons of the U.S. prison system, federal and state, for 20 plus years, 30 plus years, 40 plus years in the case of Leonard Peltier, in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, in the case of, Ana Belén Montes, Puerto Rican political prisoner. So I think this is a great idea. I did not get the notice, because if I would have gotten the notice, I would have been there, because Heather knows how passionately I feel about highlighting the plight of political prisoners and the reasons why they are in the prison system is because of their confrontation with the system.
Time is up. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. If I could just take 15 more seconds, Chair. So I support this motion because it's a good start. And I was talking to my colleague James McFadden, and how this could also be added to the archives as well as because these people are going to move on. I mean, they are rot in prison because the United States government wants them to rot in prison and wants them to die.
Orders of the day.
Because of their political stance.
Thank you, Lawrence. Next up, I should say that when I ticked off the list of...
Excuse me, I don't understand why Susan would say orders of the day, because I was addressing the day. Thank you.
No, it's okay.
Julie, this is Heather. Go ahead.
One thing I needed to do was correct the fact that when I ticked off the list of directors who attended the meeting yesterday, I inadvertently left out Sue Goodwin, who was also present. So I just wanted to correct that before we went too much further. So in the queue next, I have Susan and James McFadden. Susan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is very, very exciting work and the kind of thing that we need to be about. A concern that I have is one of the reasons why our last national fund drive collapsed so badly was that we didn't have it well organized. We did it too fast. So this is more complex, requires programming from all over the place. It's not just the archive. It's not a simple purpose. So my question is whether October 4 is too challenging a deadline to meet.
And I'll let Heather or Jim Dingaman respond to that.
I think it's a good question, but Jim, what's your thinking about that as well? I mean, I think we can definitely organize a show, but this is the start of others, I would think. But Jim, what do you think?
Well, Sue raises good points. I also should add that we wanted to make these national fundraisers must carry, so that should be put into the motion. But the issue is that the last time when we did this in the Strategic Planning Committee, the national directors essentially passed it off to the managers and the PDs. So they were the ones who were implementing it, not us. And so if there was a situation that occurred, lesson learned. After action report, lesson learned from what they did last time. And yeah, you know, if we just come up with a 2-hour segment, fine. But as one will recall from what we talked about last night, there was a lot of talk about plopping these kind of shows in over a long period of time, doing all sorts of things, even thinking about using the fact that we still have AFRs extant so we could perhaps apply for short-term grants to actually finance operations in ways that we haven't thought of, and I have a feeling that could be productive. So we're talking about just simply creating models and experimenting with ways to do national broadcasting programming that differentiates us from everybody else, and that's why the Roe v. Wade issue is another thing we threw up. Anyway, hope that clarifies it.
Julie, I'm sorry, I do want to just add something else here, and I want to tell Lawrence, I'm sorry you were not that as well. Actually, I did send a note to the whole board if they wanted to attend, so I'm sorry if you didn't get a chance to see that, but we would love participation of the board. We will be having more meetings along this line for sure in the programming committee and with strategic planning as well. So thank you.
Yeah, and I will just add my 2 cents here, which is to say that, the organizational activists, et cetera, you know, and former political prisoners who were on the call last night, it was clear that we had more than enough material for a program. I think that the difficulty will be, kind of coalescing it into something that is worthy of, whatever time we offer to it on the air. And back to the queue, I see, James McFadden and Jim Dingaman. James McFadden?
And James Sagerton, don't forget, please.
Gotcha, Sagerton. But go ahead, McFadden.
First, I just wanted to affirm what Lawrence said, and I think it's important for, especially if it's going to be a single day, that we should focus and have the message be sharp so that people come away and understand. And the message that was said numerous times was the large number of people in this country who don't understand we have political prisoners. And they said it over and over, you know, and I think, you know, that kind of message is really important to get out and really powerful. And so, you know, with a single event day, to focus on people who are targeted for their political beliefs, I think is extremely important, you know, because, this is part of the process that is used in our country to silence dissent. And, because, you know, these ideas these people can bring forth represents actual threats, you know, to the status quo. And so I think it's to have a focus show. Now, that doesn't mean to say we can't have another show that focuses on other aspects of our horrible prison complex, you know, and how people are treated. And, you know, and there's so many aspects of that that could be, each one could be a show. And this would, you know, hopefully maybe just be the first one in a series. And, you know, we can use that to build up our archives, which for podcasts, and to really attract people, to our station. That's all.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, then Jim Sagerton.
Yes. Sue writes in the chat about Texas. Absolutely. It's a gulag. That's a separate total, situation that should be handled. Although I have to say that all the stations handle the prison industrial complex ad nauseum all the time. Every station has people who work on that. One thing that came up yesterday was the fact that the people in these political prisoner advocacy groups had tried to set up podcasting operations and lacked the ability to do that. So I thought, hey, maybe we could get some financing to train folks to do their own podcasts. And I think that that would be interesting. We have people within the system who are already skilled at that. They could be enlisted with some funding to teach them. And then we're talking about doing this, rolling it out over a period of time. And there's all the things that Susan and says about Texas and everything else and the normal attention to the prison industrial system. Absolutely. That can be part of it too. But even a wider thing was to figure out best ways to actually use national fundraising to tackle these terrible financial problems we're experiencing and do it in a way where it doesn't, we know it's going to hurt local programming. So we're trying to figure out the best way to do it and not mess up the fragility of the local stations in terms of their ability to raise money. So that's what it's all about, to try to figure better ways to do this. And I think everybody's pretty excited. And I agree with, Julie completely. Everybody there. We could have put all six or seven of those people on at once. And finally, we wanted to make sure that listeners have the ability to call. We just don't want it to be talking to, we want to be talking with people. So a certain percentage of the time should be devoted to listener phone calls. Thanks.
Jim Sagerton, then Darlene.
Thank you. I want to say that, you know, yes, there's room for multiple programs in this subject matter. There is room for podcasting. Those are all long-range things. What we're talking about is a program on October 4th, and as of the meeting that we were at last night, producers hadn't even been found yet or assigned or even notified. So I'm concerned that this be done right, because one of the responses to the failure, the relative failure of the national fundraising for the archives was that the audience is exhausted, you know, we do too much of this, et cetera, when in fact it was, there were other issues with it, including one premium for one price point, which was quite high at $250. So my emphasis on this would be, I'm concerned about October 4th as a definite date, because I want this to be done right, because I'm concerned about the arguments that, you know, we have donor fatigue going on here, and that also that political programming doesn't work. I don't want those arguments to be strengthened by too soon a date and an ill-prepared program. We should have multiple premiums available, related subject matter at various price points so people can come in at different levels. But let's make sure that we get this done and do it right. And if October 4th is too soon to get that, I mean, it's only 12 days away. If that's too soon, I hope we can include here a possibility to extend this further out to make sure that it gets done right. And finally, I just want to say that among the attendees from Pacifica who were at that meeting was Ursula from the affiliates, who wanted to distribute this programming to the affiliates and the participants from the political prisoners support groups and advocacy groups.
Jim, your time is up.
We're quite supportive of that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I was remiss in not noting Ursula's attendance, too. And Stephanie wanted to be there, but for her cold. Darlene, then Sue Goodwin. Darlene?
Yeah, I have a number of small questions. Shall I ask them all first, and whoever can answer them? My question is, was this planned as an all-day or an all-evening or just a couple of hours somewhere else show? Is it planned to be live or delayed with the three-hour time gap? There was something that came out about an event on October 8th. Is this the same thing, and it got changed to October 4th? Because October 8th would then not interfere with KPFA's fund drive, fall fund drive, which goes on through the 7th. And I would like to put out the name Kat Brooks. She's the KPFA programmer who Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. does a show on the prison industrial complex for an hour every morning.
Thank you. Jim,
Madam Chair,
do you want to tackle those questions? Yes, go ahead, Susan.
Time.
We're at time. Okay, so if we're going to continue here, other than voting on the motion, I would need a motion to extend.
Chair, may I be recognized? Lawrence?
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Make a motion to exhaust the stack as presented on the screen.
Is there a second to Lawrence's motion? I'll tell you who's on the stack. Oh, thank you, Jim Dingman. Who's on the stack is, Darlene, Sue Goodwin, Teresa, Aki, Lawrence, and Jim Dingman. Are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack of six? Hearing none, we're extended till we get to there. Now we're back to Darlene's questions. Planned as an all day or all evening or a few hours, live or delayed, and October 8th. Does anybody have any response to Heather or Jim?
I do, but I'm taking up my staff position, but I would agree. We are 12 days out. We don't have a host. We don't have a format decided. We don't have how many hours decided. We don't have frame and focus decided. We don't have how much live, how much pre-produced. Those decisions have to be made in the next day or so if we really want to produce something that's compelling 12 days from now. So I don't know how those decisions get made.
Julie, can I respond to this?
Yes, go ahead, Heather.
I just want to mention, and I agree with everyone, we don't have that much time to organize an extensive political prisoner program across the country. So what I'm thinking is that we encourage people on October the 4th, which is Jamil Elamine's birthday. And just so you all know, Ed Brown, his brother, he passed a few years ago. He was a dear friend of mine as well. But so I think if we could encourage stations across the network, I mean, both in Pacifica and the affiliate stations, to perhaps have some kind of special program about Jamil Elamine, but that we have a more extensive political prisoner program across Pacifica later on is what I'm thinking. It'll give us more time to plan it. Jim Dingman, what do you think of that? Does that sound good to you as well?
Yeah, I agree. Darlene and everybody raises good points. We don't have enough time to do a 8-hour extravaganza right now. It would require a lot of work, and we do want to knock it out of the park.
Exactly.
And the reason I want to knock it out of the park is that I also want interstitials, produced pieces, the kind of stuff that Susan and I would be familiar with in terms of, you know, doing produced radio. We want to interject that, but we could combine it with doing it live because, as all of us experienced yesterday, one person or two people handling the, caliber of folks we had on there, that would be incredibly interesting. And again, I would want to insist that we give a considerable amount of time to let people call up and participate, with listener phone calls. Anyway. Yeah, I'd say between 2 and 3 hours, if we did it on the 4th, as a light touch, see what goes. And it could be just focused in, with, the case of H. Rat Brown, and then have some of these people, interspersed there who have general views about it. But, you know, it could be done, in a small way on the 4th and then plan for better, and more produced things down the road.
Yeah. So, let's keep going. I know we didn't, I'm not sure we answered all of Darlene's questions, the live or delayed one. Does anybody have a thought on, Sue Goodwin, do you have a thought on live or delayed if we did something for 2 hours on the 4th?
Well, it doesn't have to be all or one or the other. I mean, you can have an hour that is a third of it is pre-produced and 2/3 is live. You have a lot of options. At the end of the day, those decisions have to be made. And I just don't feel we have the decision-making structure set in place. And I wanted to respond to something Jim was just talking about. What I heard yesterday, you know, I was listening as a producer. And what I was hearing was incredible stories, but also incredible ideas and vision and morality, frankly. So how do we merge that together? I think we want a program where the storytelling jumps off the page, but it has to be couched in a consistent, you know, messaging. What does this add up to? As you can see, this takes time. We can do it without a doubt. 2 weeks, I'm not so sure.
Thanks, Sue. Teresa, then Aki. Teresa?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was just going to call the question, but since we're going to let the rest of the stack go, I would say the way to solve this problem is to go the route that WPFW did in their last pledge drive, that we approach people early and say, you know, each of our stations is asked to come up with $10,000 to support this programming. Can you give $1,000? I would say have people work on getting the money lined up before the event. Then you can do a pitch on air, but hopefully you'll have all of your money before you even have it, because these people are going to be patrons of producing this program.
Thanks, Teresa. Aki, then Lawrence.
Yeah, with a project like this, I think you need somebody who can, not strictly direct, but the one person who can oversee the whole project. Because having a little committee or a bunch of people voting or deciding is a very, very difficult affair. So I was wondering, is there anybody that we can trust to, you know, produce such a production? Or should we look for somebody like that?
That's a great question, Aki. I think the issue is going to be, that there are many capable people across the network who could do this. The question is there someone, and maybe the idea is that, we ask, Stephanie to check with the GMs and PDs tomorrow to see if there can't be, you know, one person who, you know, from the network, you know, staff person who leads the charge on this. And, you know, that, you know, between, you know, what Heather put together last night, I mean, there are tons of leads in terms of people who could, you know, actually be interviewed for the program. It's not like the material's lacking there. So, and honestly, I think the question really comes down to, do we want to do something on October 4th? Because, you know, to honor Jameel Alameen's birthday, or do we want to, in effect, I mean, I haven't heard anybody say this is a bad idea other than the timing of it. And so the question would be, do we want to do it for October 4th, or do we want to recognize that we could do more in a sustained way, or it more in a big way if we waited? And then the question becomes, you know, do we want to use this as a kind of the program is the premium sort of idea, right? And then that gets us out of having to have, you know, develop any premiums around this. And if the program is the premium and it really is something that's, you know, kind of not what you tend to hear, on radio period, and it's what Pacifica has to offer, you know, I think we could, you know, do something to put ourselves on the map. And I don't know. And like others have already said, you start here with this, you know, people across the network can do their own interview shows, you know, who already have public affairs programming can do interview shows that key off of this topic. But maybe this starts exercising a muscle that, you know, we do something like this maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. I don't know what the number is, but it's around fundraising and branding of Pacifica. And it's kind of building up our own news capability or news public affairs capability, if you were on a nationwide basis.
James with an inquiry.
Lawrence is on the stack, Jack.
Well, but I have Lawrence and Jim Dingman on the stack still. James Sagerton, what's your inquiry?
I just wanted to ask Heather if she has considered using the archives for not only, premium, possible premiums in this thing. I know we've got a lot of material that could be, you know, is political prisoner related for premiums, and also,
Jay, what's the inquiry?
Yeah. Sorry, Jim.
It was the inquiry to Heather,
yes,
if she will consider that. Has she considered it? Is that
absolutely
part of the plan?
No, it sounds good.
Good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Lawrence, go ahead. Then Jim Dingman. Lawrence.
And thank you. This is a very hopeful situation that we are in. The way to deal with donor fatigue is by refreshing the programming, giving them something that is a nuance to them that they have not heard. And the issue of political prisoners, I support the idea that Iman Jamil Alamin should be celebrated for his struggle and for his sacrifice, formerly known as H. Rat Brown. I think, and then I'm going to make a motion here. I think we should take the rest of the month. I mean, COVID Race and Democracy, which was the last national program, that was rolled out on a national level. We met for about 3 months, with the affiliates director, with other members of the board and other programmers, throughout all five stations. So I think the motion that I would like to make, Chair, is that we go ahead and roll out, honoring Iman Jamil Alamin's birthday. And then by the end of the month, by the end of October, that we should have something produced, and that both Jim and Heather, since they are the drivers of this, convene the same advocates, the same people that were at the meeting. And I also have content from my show that I did on political prisoners. So I'll be more than happy to donate. Without any credit, asked for. That's my motion. And let me just clarify it. So the motion I'm making, Chair, is that we celebrate, Iman Jamil Zalamin's birthday on October the 4th by rolling out a national program. Once the logistics are worked out, and two, that we roll out the rest of the program and the other programs, because there's much content out there to mitigate the donor fatigue, and then that we roll out the rest of the political prisoners programming, and then Roe v. Wade, voter suppression, the prison industrial complex and the such. So that's my motion, if Marianne understood it.
So hang on. So the point is, Lawrence, there's actually already a motion on the floor. And that motion
that would be an amendment.
So yours would have to be an amendment. Okay. So, I think the, did you catch all the amendment, Marion?
It got a little tangled.
Okay.
What I have is that we honor Al-Amin's birthday by rolling out a national program once the logistics are rolled out, and that by the end of October, we have something produced that Heather and Jim convened the same advocates, and it kind of got lost after that.
And other directors as well.
And other directors.
Okay. So I think the difference there is, Lawrence's amendment doesn't change the original motion in terms of aiming for October 4th. I don't know why I keep wanting to say first. October 4th. And I think we're probably talking, you know, about something that's probably a 2-hour program at the most, given the amount of time that we have, till then. And, but the nuance that Lawrence was adding in his amendment was, producing something else by the end of October, although I wasn't sure what the something else was.
The show on political prisoners and then James.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So the distinction there is that the October 4th would just be about, Jamil Al-Amin, honoring him. And then a political prisoner show would be, would follow later in the month.
Okay.
Okay. So, someone wrote in the chat that that sounds more like a substitute motion. I don't really care. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound like I don't care. I'm not going to get very worked up about the difference between whether it's a substitute motion or, an amendment. So is there a second to Lawrence's motion or amendment or whatever
it is? This is Heather. I'll second.
Oh. Okay. Thank you, Heather. Thank you also, Sharon. Okay, so we have to decide on the amendment / substitute motion first. There were a couple people whose hands were on the I stopped looking at my screen for a few minutes. And so now I don't remember who
was Chair, we exhausted the stack, I believe.
Well, I thought there was one person after you, so.
Jim.
I'm still on the stack, and I'm going to jump in.
Yeah,
I just want to say something really quick, guys.
No, go ahead, Sue Goodman.
You know, we talk about national programming, and we know what's involved, and we know what it can sound like, but honestly, listeners don't care that much. You know, whether it's their, and some listeners will get mad because whatever they had expected to hear on their local station isn't there when that national is playing. I say that just to say whatever we do, it's got to be really good. We're trying to create a template, if I believe, for future national programming that can draw attention to the issues we care about, can further extend our fundraising capabilities, and enhance our ability to work together. Where does that add up to? October 4th, we got to bump it.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I agree completely with Sue, 100%. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to, not necessarily on October 4th, because I also agree that Lawrence, you know, the whole idea of doing something a little less intensive makes sense, because it can be put together. But the idea of creating a distinct and compelling sound is a challenging and worthwhile task to take on, something that we really haven't done in a long time. And we've got a lot of skilled people in the system to do it. Everyone, including people on this, board here. But there's lots of talent out there in the system. The whole thing is to get those guys and gals involved. I just want to keep in mind that Lawrence's thing is fine. Remember, the whole focus of that first motion is to make sure we're focusing in on keeping doing this so we take other national topics or different types of topics like Roe v. Wade and continue to work on developing these kind of sound forms. Thanks.
Okay. So we really do have to, you know, kind of like decide what we're doing here one way or the other. And we have Lawrence's substitute slash amendment on the floor at the moment. And so I'd like to see if there are any objections to Lawrence's motion slash amendment. Hearing no objections, Lawrence's motion becomes the main motion. And so now the question is, are there any objections to Lawrence's motion as the main motion?
I'm asking to have the motion read, please.
Go ahead, Marion.
I'll do my best. Let me see if I, let's see, that we honor Al Alamin's, birthday by rolling out a national program once the logistics are rolled out, and that by the end of October, we have something produced, that Heather and Jim convene the same advocates and other directors. That's sloppy language, but it's as close as I've been able to get.
Because I'm just confused on the date. That was, should have been more specific.
No, no. Let me give you my interpretation of what that says. That on October 4th.
I'll add that.
On October 4th, we will honor, Jamil Alamin's birthday, and that we will roll out, we will decide who are the producers, et cetera, and get people stood up to produce some programming on political prisoners that will be national programming, and we'll do that by the end of October. That's my understanding of the motion that's on the floor.
Well.
Jim Dingman, I didn't recognize you.
Okay. James with an inquiry.
Okay.
After
go ahead,
Jim Dingman, if that's what he was trying to do.
Well, Julie, I know I don't want to prolong this, but I did want to make sure that we're just not – the whole purpose of this was also to kick off taking this form. Lawrence, let me just perhaps add friendly language here. I hear your intent. In addition, we're going to plan to do other national programming in the future. Is that a fair addition?
That's extremely friendly, Jim. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, babe.
Hey,
did you catch that, Marion?
That we intend to add other programming
on other topics.
Exactly, exactly. In the future.
In the future.
National programs.
Yes.
National.
Pacifica programs, right.
Programs on other topics in the future.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Got it.
So that's the motion. All right. So now I'm going to ask. Are there any objections to the motion?
I had an inquiry.
No, Chair. I'm sorry, Jim Sagerton. Go ahead.
No worry, and I apologize for delaying things. I'm on a phone, so I can't see the language. I just want to be sure that there was nothing, and this is where whether something is a substitute motion or an amendment matters. Was there anything in the language of the original motion that's not included now that still wants to be in this substitute? Or it sounds like everybody was offering ways to deal with that and merge it. So my question is, I guess, to Jim and to Heather, are you happy with the way that the language has ended up here?
I would just add that October 4th be a must carry.
Point of information, must carry what?
Must carry programming.
Means all the stations are supposed
about
to carry.
About Jamil Alamin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about a whole day long production. We're talking
absolutely
about.
Not. Yeah, we're just talking about a short period of time.
Right.
You all better do a damn good job.
Exactly.
Ron.
I feel you, Susan. I feel you.
Yeah. So I think we exhausted.
Oh, you exhausted the stack? I just wanted to say one thing. Quick.
Go ahead.
Okay, and my thing is this.
It sounds wonderful, but we need to, what should I say, advertise it first, leading up to the program so people are ready to get on board.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Are there any objections to the motion?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Are there any objections other than Susan Young abstaining? Hearing none.
I'm going to say we have to delete the must carry on that day. My objection is KPFA is in a fund drive on that day. I'm willing to be the staff idiot and ask Kat Brooks if perhaps she knew that it was Jamal Alameen's birthday, as if she wouldn't. And KPFA, even in fund drive, carries 6 to 8 hours a week on prison issues. So, there's no doubt.
Chair, point of order.
Done, but my objection is that it has to be the day of a fund drive day.
Chair,
point of order.
Okay, hang on, people. We're like circling around, and we're not voting, and we've taken a long time on this issue, and part of it is because we're trying to manage this on the fly. I'm just going to point out that I think it's not going very efficiently. Okay. How to get us out of this quagmire. And so what happens is everybody raises their hand because they want to talk again, which is not what I really need people to do.
Can I just clarify something for Ms. Pagano?
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Ms. Pagano, one of the things in the motion is once the logistics are settled. So I think you could convey that to Kat Brooks as well, who I know very well. So there you go.
That doesn't answer my question of asking to eliminate the must do.
Well, it's only an hour and a half to 2 hours.
I second the motion to amend to eliminate must carry.
I think the must carry applied to the October 4th. I think the goal for the must carry is for this other programming that people will have way more lead time to take into account. Is that fair to whoever said
must carry? I think must carry applied to everything.
No.
Including really? October 4th, and we're in fundraising.
Jim Diggeman proposed it.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, look. Every single signal area has dealt with these issues on the air for decades. This is not a surprise to the Bay Area, to Los Angeles, to New York, to Houston, to Washington. A must carry for 2 hours is not going to kill people. And people can be flexible about how the must carry is implemented. They can participate in crafting the show. We've got
They can be on HD too.
No, we're talking about it has to be a day part where there's people listening to it.
Okay.
And we're trying to also raise money.
Hang on. We're just going to a vote because there's a lot of crosstalk and obviously I'm overtired or I wouldn't be allowing it. So we're just, was there a second to Susan's motion? I have to figure that out first.
Well, there's a question of where are we in this process? Okay. Lawrence's substitute motion, as far as I know, let's see.
Someone added must carry and Susan's saying take the must carry out. And what I don't know is whether there was a second to Susan's amendment to remove the must carry.
You could call me that second.
Darlene's the second. All right. Okay. So are there any objections to the motion to amend that removes the must carry for October 4th?
Yes, I object.
And then we have to go to a vote on the amendment to remove the must carry from October 4th.
Okay. Let me...
And I have a point of information.
But we have to go to a vote on the amendment.
I just want to understand what we're voting on.
What we're voting on now is an amendment to the motion where it said must carry regarding October 4th. The must carry comes out of the motion. Yes means remove the must carry. No means keep the must carry.
But I'm not sure it was actually in the underlying motion. Let's see. That on October 4th, we honor Jameel El-Amin's birthday by rolling out a national program on political prisoners once the logistics are rolled out, and that by the end of October, we have something produced, that Heather and Jim convene the same advocates and other directors. There is nothing in must carry in that original motion.
Point of information, Marianne, point of information. Yeah. Jim Dingman called it out, and then it got added as if that were a motion.
I agree with you.
We're arguing. This is coming up because Jim Dingman called out must carry.
Okay, so then I screwed up by assuming it was in there and then letting a motion. Okay, so the word must carry is not in there. So we don't need to vote on the amendment to remove the must carry because it's not necessary. And so now we're back to Lawrence's motion. Are there any objections to Lawrence's motion? Hearing none, Lawrence's motion carries. Okay.
Thank you, colleagues.
Was Julie- that a must carry motion?
Julie?
Go ahead, Heather.
I just want to thank everyone so much for, I know it's been hard to make this decision, but I want to thank you for your interest in Jameel El-Amin or whatever we can do to educate people about him and his great work, actually, over time. So, but anyway, I want to thank you so much. That's what I wanted to say. Thanks.
All right, you bet. Okay, so it's 10:26. There was one item under unfinished business, and it was something from it's been carried over from a couple of previous meetings. It's Jim Dingman's motion.
We can carry it over again, Julie. Don't
okay,
worry about
that. Are there any objections to, then we would adjourn to, if we are willing to do that, we could just go straight to a motion to adjourn to close session.
Julie, can I just jump in? I promise I'll be quick.
Yes, but go ahead.
These meetings, you know, lots and lots of hours of talking about how to implement one day of programming. So can I just suggest whatever we have to do to take the steps to create the national infrastructure? So that we can jump into this stuff. Is it monthly, bi-monthly? What do we want? What is our goal to do national programming? And then let's create the infrastructure so that we can just jump on.
Point well taken. Thank you, Sue. Okay.
Can we take five, Chair?
But we actually have to have a motion to adjourn to close session.
So moved.
Okay. Second. So. Thank you. Lawrence moved and Jim Sagerton second. And we will take 5 minutes before we start up, folks. And in that 5 minutes, I will get us off the stream somehow. So we're adjourned at 10:28 p.m. Oh, wait a minute. Did I have to ask, was there any objection to the motion to adjourn? Hearing none. We're adjourned at 10:28 p.m. And we will, let's just call it 10:35.